Commissioner and his sub-delegation, but also to extend our warm welcome to provincial commissioners who I think are attending this meeting for the first time and appreciate the fact that they are here and believe that their presence will enrich our interaction with the department. But also I want to welcome all members of the public that are here together with members of the media. Of course, we extend our warm welcome to the members of the Portfolio Committee on Police. We have our Department of Police here today to tell us as to what and how it plans to spend a budget of 62 billion rand plus during the 2012-13 financial year. Acting National Commissioner, the honeymoon period is over. We are now hard at work. I want to congratulate the department for submitting its revised threat plan together with the annual performance plan well on time. We therefore had enough time at the portfolio committee to go through these documents, and if we may not have done that, the Department of Police has nothing to do with that. We received them on time. And therefore, you amongst the few departments that were able to submit your documents on the 9th of March as per the instructions by Parliament. I also want to extend our appreciation, Acting National Commissioner, to the fact that we received the documents your department is going to present to us today also on time. For that, we also want to thank you. We have further instructed our committee secretary to give you the due dates for submission of documents to the portfolio committee. The principle is that when we sit in a meeting on Tuesday, in that meeting we receive documents for the coming week a meeting, so that members can then have time to go through those documents. Otherwise, we are never given enough time to go through the documents. But I also want to congratulate the department for a very classical case of Francis Rasuch, and probably want to remind all of us that Mr. Nkuna was sentenced to life imprisonment for murder, even if Rasuch's body had not been found. This was only possible in a country such as South Africa that has rights, or even a Bill of Rights for that matter. It was possible because of the quality of investigation and of course a watertight but also a compelling evidence that was led by SAFT in the court and therefore made judges to find Mr. Nkuna guilty. And I believe that Mr. Nkuna deserved to rot in jail for his deeds. But I think we have got to appreciate and to congratulate the department for such a case, which I think it has set a precedent in our courts that it is possible to find somebody guilty of murder even if you've actually not seen the body. And on that, we want to congratulate you. Acting National Commissioner, this portfolio committee has visited police stations in different provinces. We have indeed visited 6 provinces up to so far. We have seen and raised issues with the department. The first province that we visited was Mpumalanga province, and we saw a police station, Mayflower, which had collapsed, and of course Nelspruit police station that was on the verge of collapsing. However, we also visited a police station, Witbank, called Witbank, which indeed was a police station run by management that knew what it was doing. Following that, we visited the province of KwaZulu-Natal, and in that province we visited Mdubaduba police station, which also had almost collapsed, with Empangeni police station being very chaotic. But we also visited an academy in Durban, which made us to remember as to what a higher learning and how a higher learning should be run and how it should operate. It was very pleasing to be in that academy. We then visited Western Cape, and in Western Cape we visited Bishop Lovett police station, also having visited Philip Academy. In fact, Bishop Lovett Academy together with Philippi Academy. Both these four colleges had almost collapsed. But also in the Western Cape we visited Stellenbosch police station, which indeed is a police station, and we think it has a management that is managing it. This portfolio committee further visited Gauteng province. We visited in Gauteng Wertebrug police station, which I can explain here that it was very frightening to be in the police station, but even to leave the police station. For once, when we left, we were checking every other vehicle that was overtaking us, because we did not feel safe as the portfolio committee. But also in Johannesburg, we visited Johannesburg Central Prison, police station, with all the challenges that are there emanating from its size and the location of the police station. But that was a police station that has the management that is running it and managing it. Probably also it is safe to include Pretoria Central Police Station with all the challenges that were there, but we think that there was a management that was willing to work in that police station. We also visited Limpopo province, and in that province we visited Bergersfort Police Station, which indeed had collapsed. And Limpopo police station, which was moving towards the direction of collapsing. But also in that province, we visited Orangstad police station. And it was pleasing to hear even people around saying that police station is indeed working and serving them excellently. Recently, we have visited Northwest province. And in Northwest province, again, Maiti police station is on its way to collapsing, but acting national commissioner of the police station is one police station that is properly run and properly managed. And I'm saying that because our visit in that police station was unannounced. They did not expect that the portfolio committee was going to visit that police station. But we found a police station that is properly managed, not because the portfolio committee was coming, but because that's what they're doing every day. I just want also to mention to the National Commission that when we were in Northwest, for the first time, we were joined by 2 senior managers from HQ, who, according to the information that we received, are deployed in that province. I want to extend our appreciation to first the two generals, General Dlamini and General Mbekela, for their sterling work when we were there, but also their contributions, not as part of SAPS, but as managers who are able to give orders and able to say it as is, so that they just do not buy the eyes of their subordinates, but of course they tell them the truth. And I must appreciate the fact that this was for the first time that we were indeed joined by generals from HQ, and indeed we are appreciating that. Acting National Commissioner, I do hope that all provinces do have that beautiful chart on Domestic Violence Act and Child Justice Act, which we saw this time around in Northwest Province, but had seen it in the Western Cape Province. I'm saying that because we can only come to one conclusion as the Portfolio Committee, that these two legislations are poorly implemented and not known by members of SAPS. Despite the fact that there is such a clear chart, summarized, very informative, appreciated by ourselves, however, members, I think they've not taken time to read those charts. We're raising this matter so that we can indeed encourage this management to encourage members to familiarize themselves with that. Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Act is simply not known, not even by Criminal Records Center staff that we visited when we were in the Northwest. The IP Act is also not known, to an extent that not anywhere in the department's annual performance plan have the department indicated targets for the implementation of IP recommendations as per the Act. Archives in our police stations are still a problem. Storage of dockets by detectives is still a problem. However, there is improvement in the management of Section 13 stores. Control of sub-safe state firearms, particularly at CSC, is still a challenge. We are never surprised as this portfolio committee when we hear that a SAPS member has used a state firearm to shoot himself, a girlfriend or a wife and children, because we know it's very easy for SAPS to do that. Because as per the order from SAPS, CSC commanders are not controlling the safe keys, they're not. A warrant officer books in a firearm to a student constable. Now you don't understand how, as to how that is possible. But Acting National Commissioner, there are SAPS members who are doing some excellent job. And we decided as this portfolio committee that we will write their names in our report. Good as they are doing that excellent job, however, when time for promotions come, they are forgotten. I think on the issues related to promotions, we still have to have a longer discussion, because we are, as this portfolio committee, are receiving complaints from all over the country with regards to that matter. Acting National Commissioner, before we allow you and your team to take us through your presentation, we will request you to take us into your confidence on three matters. The first matter is with regard to Katumano matter and officers that are working there. We definitely want to know, as this portfolio committee, as to how did Katumano come into existence? How were those members held accountable? To who? How did it happen that we ended up with that Katumano and allegations leveled against Katumano? The second matter that we'll request you to take us through is the issue related to the suspension of the head of the Hawks in KZN. His reinstatement, as well as interdicts, as we have learned about these things over the media. The third matter that we'll request you to take us through is the issue related to the suspension and reinstatement of the Divisional Commission of Crime Intelligence, and also possible new findings emanating from the inquest. Can I mention with deepest pain and sorrow that these matters bring this important organization into disrepute? Some of the serious allegations leveled against some of the senior members of SAPS manifest a flagrant violation of the moral integrity expected of SAPS members, or conduct unbecoming that of a SAPS member. However, we acknowledge the fact that these remain allegations until proven otherwise. I just want to remind all of us in this meeting that some of the issues that are in the media today and almost every weekend or Sunday were raised by this portfolio committee in the meeting in 2010. We were in committee room M46 and the department was presenting its budget on crime intelligence. We raised issues related to allegations the misuse of Secret Service funds. We raised issues related to the misuse of the HICLs, but also a policy the use of state vehicles by SAPS members who also have subsidized the HICLs. The department told us that they were reviewing the policy on subsidized vehicles and the use of state vehicles. They never came back to us to brief us on what then is the reviewed policy. And therefore, when these matters started to appear in the newspapers, we were not surprised, because we had indeed raised these issues as the portfolio committee with the department. What is discouraging, though, is that it would seem like even after we had raised those matters, the department did not take any steps to correct them. So they seem to have continued. And the question we ask as the portfolio committee is, to why then do we have these engagements if ultimately they do not lead to these issues being attended to and corrected, if indeed they exist? Acting National Commissioner, we're requesting you to take us through these three matters. We will allow members of the Portfolio Committee on these specific three matters to ask follow-up questions, one or two per member, and then we'll allow you to respond to those matters and then following that we'll close the matters and then proceed to the business of the day. When we do that, we'll request that the department brief us, briefly give us the budget overview, threat plan and APP, and then focus on the budget that is related to admin program, a threat plan related to that and APP. We will then proceed as such. I will then allow the Acting National Commissioner to take us through on these three matters that we have raised.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody present today. Chairperson, taking note of your comments with regard to the state of affairs at the police stations, the management of SARPS, the Provincial Commission specifically, they've given me assurance that they will do their level best to improve the condition of the stations as it has been reported. And as the department, we've taken measures to make sure that we also threaten the inspectorate section to assist both the provincial commissioners and the national office to be able to inform us on the state of affairs at the station so that we can have an intervention at the early stage. Chairperson, the three matters that you raised, the Katumena unit. Chairperson, this unit, I'll be responding on these three questions that you've asked. How did the unit came into existence? It is an old unit. It comes from the old days when I became aware of the unit. It was referred to as a murder and robbery unit at the time. And it's not the only unit. There were many of the units like that in the country. And Katumena is the name of the place where the unit is located. It's not the name of the unit. It's an area where the unit is located. Their base. It was a murder and robbery unit, which is a simple term, is detective unit. So they were doing investigation related to murders, and they've changed names in a number of years, from murder and robbery to serious environment crime unit, and now they are called organized crime unit. So they are just to investigate, you know, serious violent crimes as per their mandate. They fall directly under the responsibility of the head of the Hawks currently in the province. Although the unit will have a unit commander, so is many other units which falls under the Hawks. They will have their own unit commanders, probably in the level of a colonel, some of them in level of brigadiers. But they all fall directly under the command of the head of the Hawks in the province. How did it happen that the members were implicated in this evil act? We all saw it on the paper, on the newspaper, Chairperson. I must say, I was very embarrassed because I was dressed like this in the aeroplane flying to Cape Town when I was confronted with those horrible pictures that were shown on the newspaper, the Sunday paper. We don't know why did the members get involved with such acts, as it was shown on the paper. But as an organization, we're embarrassed about that, and as such, we've taken necessary actions to try and correct the wrongdoing that we've seen. There's currently an inquiry taking place, and disciplinary investigation that is taking place, which some of you might have read about it on the paper, which involved quite a number of people within that unit. And we have subsequently moved the members of that unit. We've closed that office, we've moved the members from that unit into other sections in the police. That's the first item. The second one, Chairperson, on the suspension of the head of the Hawks in KZN. Although the matter is before court, which prohibit me much from talking about it in details, but I must say that as an internal process, in terms of additional regulations, we uncovered certain things that will warrant us to take disciplinary action against an individual concerned. which is currently what is happening. We're going through the disciplinary procedure. I cannot elaborate much on that. The last item, the suspension and reinstatement of Lieutenant General Zuli. I'm sure the chairperson and the members will remember that Lieutenant General Zuli was arrested last year, and as a result, in terms of our disciplinary regulations, prescribed to us that the certain action that the employer must do in such instance, so which resulted into his suspension at the time. And subsequent to that, there was another additional charge that was brought before the court, which related to corruption. The disciplinary steps that were instituted were only instituted for the corruption matter, which unfortunately it involves largely the secret fund account, which this the South African police management cannot solely act in terms of our disciplinary regulations in correcting the wrongdoing within that account without involving other bodies. We have the Inspector General of Intelligence together with the Joint Standing Committee Intelligence, who are also entities responsible for, who's got an oversight role over the secret fund. So as a result, the disciplinary steps that were instituted had to be, entities had to be engaged, which through the engagement resulted into the uplifting of suspension. I cannot elaborate much on what actually was the result and what was the outcome of that. I think Chairperson, it can be engaged on the Joint Standing Committee, which is, I think, your colleagues within this parliament. That's where the account has been managed. With regard to the murder, suspicion on murder, involvement on the murder case, which was also highlighted last year, there was no evidence to prove that there is murder in court by the court referring the matter to inquest. Now, in our terms, the inquest will then tell us that there's no specific suspect. The cause of the death is unknown. So as a result, we're busy with that inquest investigation. And I must say, Chairperson, I only became aware over on Sunday when I saw it on the media that there seems to be statements that came from some of our colleagues which alleges the involvement of certain members on the wrongdoing which might have committed misconduct in terms of in relation to the inquest that is currently underway. And I have thus instructed the management to embark on the disciplinary procedure to try and investigate who might have committed the misconduct through what we saw in the media. And we are busy with that. The outcome of that, I'm sure, will be made known soon. But once again, we cannot elaborate on the details of that because it's a departmental process. We wouldn't want to talk about the employees involved that might be investigated. But we've already commenced with the disciplinary action on the latest information. I think that's the response to all the questions that the chairperson has raised. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Acting National Commissioner, I said I will allow members to ask one or two questions per member. Honorable Aluchi, Honorable Palapanat, Honorable Reverend Mishu, in that order. Honorable Babu Hiovu, not a Reverend Mishu.
Thanks, Chair. And good morning to all the ladies and gentlemen. My question to the acting National Commissioner is, from the explanation that you gave just now, the disciplinary procedures that were taken emanated from the corruption case of Lieutenant General Mduli, that in what you're saying is still under investigation. Am I right?
Um, Can I respond to that one? Just to seek clarity, you are referring to a corruption, it's not matters relating to a corruption matter.
Yes.
You're saying that they are still underway.
Yes. No. Is the corruption still being investigated?
No. No, that is not regulations, that it is not steps taken against the general on a corruption matter resulted into the appointment of suspension. So the details of the entire investigation, I cannot necessarily talk much on this because it is something subjected to the involvement of the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence because it was a good fund account. So it cannot be discussed openly, the details of it.
Thanks, Chair. My simple question is, are you satisfied that the reinstatement is justifiable? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. About the Cato Manor unit, that article, the newspaper article, which I also read very carefully, it seems to me you chose to disband the Cato Manor unit as a result of this article, which named its two sources as two men who had been arrested by the Hawks and who faced long jail terms. I would have thought that in light of that, which was quite obvious to everyone and why they had done it, that you might have waited until the outcome of this investigation before disbanding the unit, which has now left the local community up in arms because they say crime is now going through the roof. What are you going to do if the claims have no basis? I gather the leaked photos of various crime suspects who were killed, half of them don't even relate to the unit. They relate to all sorts of units around the province and other places in the country. What are you going to do if you find out that the two people who were the sources to this article, who faced jail terms, have fabricated this whole thing? Are you going to reconstitute the unit? Because you've now damned them by disbanding them. You've blackened their names. I'm just very interested. If they come out in the investigation as having simply done their jobs, will you reconstitute the unit? The Mbluli issue. Well, it's hardly a day goes by, we don't hear more. There were a lot of claims that you personally threatened to resign over his reinstatement. I find that a very honourable thing to have threatened. You didn't, however. And we now sit with a person with more clouds over his head than anyone I could ever imagine would ever belong in the SAPS. I cannot imagine what he's doing in this job. And, you know, I can see that you're uncomfortable talking about this, but it's got to come out there. I don't know what he's doing back in the SAPS. I do not know what he's doing back in there, considering the extensive investigation into his looting of the secret funds. The extensive investigation that should be done and is being done by the public protector through me about his hiring of everyone who was ever related to him or ever had any sort of relationship to him, all hired, and yet he's sitting in the SAT. What are you thinking? You have the position and the power to ensure this didn't happen, or were you overruled by the minister? That's what I'd like to know.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question has to do with the state of the police stations and some of the reports that we have made regarding what is taking place in the police stations. Now, the acting commissioner said he has been given the assurance by the commissioners that corrective action will be taken. Now, what I want to know from that statement is that corrective action in line with the issues that the committee has raised? And when is that going to happen? Because just to say corrective action is going to take place, it might be within a year or two. So are the timelines, and if the committee can put on paper, can give the management the issues that need attention, are they able to say this is what the committee said and this is corrective action that has taken place? That's what I want to know. And secondly, regarding the Lieutenant General, Julie, there has been reports, obviously, in the papers again, that some of the police that were involved in, or detectives that were involved in investigating the matter are kind of fearful. They are fearing for their lives. What I want to know is whether management has measures in place to ensure that if a senior police is investigated, that the investigators are protected. What happens to those investigators that are now saying we are going to be targets, they are scared because of what they've been doing? So are such investigators protected, and if they are protected, can we be given an indication so that members will not be afraid to investigate their own? I mean, the number of complaints we hear and allegations we hear in the media are terrible. I think this committee should be one of the people in Parliament who are in the first line of defense of the police. But some of the allegations are so serious that you are not sure who to believe and who to trust. And lastly, I remember when former Commissioner Selibi was taken to court, he was surrounded by an army of the generals who were protecting him and defending him. Now, I understand that when a person has committed something he's been accused of on duty, that the police should stand and defend their own. What I want to know is the issue called integrity. Are we thinking about our personal integrity? Are we thinking about the integrity of the police as a whole, that when allegations are made that are very, very serious, that the police are quick to jump to the defense of the people that are being accused? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jefferson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I had the acting national commissioner saying that he had read it on the papers, and whether he has seen a horrible action on the papers and so on and so forth. Is that how the department communicate with the head of the department? Do they communicate through the public media? There is no other strategy except that. That's the first question that I want to raise. The second question is the suspension of the head of the Hawks in KwaZulu-Natal. Is that based on facts or is based on hearsay? I'm asking this question because if a person has been suspended, only to find that at the end of the day he has to be reinstated, and then nobody is charged for doing the wrong thing or whatever. It's the same thing with the Katomena thing, disbandment and investigation. You start by disbanding and then investigation, and then thereafter, if you don't find anything else, what do you do at the end of the day? Those are the two things which come first to the integrity of the police. How do they do their job? Do they start by saying, we have to take you out and then investigate, or we investigate first and then take you out? Those are the two questions, sir. Thank you very much.
Jefferson, thank you very much. Good morning also to everybody. It's a sad situation when a committee's got to start a meeting with a body like the SAPS in the way that we have to do so today. But unfortunately, we would also be failing our own duty if we don't do it. And that is my honest belief in terms of this regard. I think SAPS have been undergoing some serious pain in for a couple of years now. And it's our responsibility, as much as it is the responsibility of the management of SAPS sitting here, to re-establish the trust that is necessary from the public in SAPS as an organization, because you don't have that at this stage. And I believe also that it's sad that we also see, and also in this committee, that we use a certain set of rules to judge a certain group of people and another set of rules to judge another set of people. In my mind, the reports on the Katomena unit on its own justifies that it be investigated without fear or favour. And if that means if it's necessary to investigate it without fear or favour means that we need to dispose of that unit before we can actually do a proper investigation, then so be it. I think it's not in our hands to say whether people should, whether allegations should not be investigated, especially serious allegations such as those, and that the unit should not be disbanded if that is going to assist in the investigation of those allegations. The responsibility to investigate those allegations remains. And I do not want to tell SAPS how to do their work, and if SAPS believed that the best way to do so was to disband the unit, to put these people in different places so that the investigation can be conducted properly, so be it. The same goes for the allegations around the Divisional Commissioner for Crime Intelligence. And we expect SAPS to do the same sort of investigation without fear or favour. Chairperson, for many years, this committee have argued in budget debate after the budget debate, in budget hearing after budget hearing, that crime intelligence is the missing link within SAPS, that we need to strengthen our crime intelligence capacity within SAPS. Under a cloud such as we are suddenly currently experiencing, it's very difficult to actually achieve that. It's very difficult for us to say that we need to have a situation where detectives and crime intelligence work and cooperate in order to bring those very people that are responsible for the majority of crime in this country to book, if we still have these kinds of clouds hanging around. It's unfortunately also true, Chairperson, that crime intelligence, to a great extent, their oversight lies with the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, and limits, therefore, the kinds of questions that one can ask, even if one should want to ask those questions in this open meeting and not as a member of the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence. But the same principle applies as with Kate Manon, and that is that allegations in the interest of the trust of the people of South Africa in the South African Police Service need to be done without fear or favour. In terms of the issue of General Boyce, I think we all, some of us, know about allegations. We know what we've read in the papers. We know that it's a court decision that was taken to reinstate him. But again, I think the fact of the matter is that we must allow investigations in that regard also to be considered and to continue without any fear or favour. If we want to address crime in this country and the perception around corruption in this country, and if we are serious in terms of saying that we want to do so, then we need to do so no matter who the accused or the accuser is. And I'm saying the accuser because of the fact that it was raised in terms of the Kate Manon issue. We need to look at all of these things, I believe, in an equal manner and with the same intensity in order to solve these issues. I would like to just ask one question to the National Commissioner. The reinstatement of the head of the walks in KZN, are you satisfied, National Commissioner, that that would not influence your investigation in that regard, and that there will not be undue pressure to, I think it's close to what the Honourable Meshers asked, to possible witnesses who want to come forward with information. And I think the same question needs to apply in terms of the head of crime intelligence as well. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, just one. I was focusing on after I said I was done. Acting Police Commissioner, we've watched a Sunday paper, first accused the minister of looting the secret fund, and the next week called him a liar on the front page. I've never seen that. I can't remember a headline more shocking since we had the one about the former health minister. Now, this committee, I think, is collectively sick and tired of this cloak of secrecy over this fund. It's nothing more than a slush fund. We've been saying that for years. And I want to know why the truth has been hidden from us. You know, we have a duty to oversee the expenditure of the billions that we vote to you. And now that the truth is out, and it's on the front page of every paper in the country, it's time that actually someone played open cards with this committee. This is our job, and we have to do it. And we've been prevented from doing it by these rules and rules and more rules and more rules that allow and have allowed this wholesale looting, hiring of relatives, looting. And now we've got one of the people who is, there's a huge report that's been on the front page of all the papers, bounced back into the SAPS to oversee the unit. It's absolutely inexplicable. And I want to know, a person in your position, what are you doing to allow more open oversight over this unit so that we don't have friends, relatives, girlfriends hired with no job, simply taking in salaries, and money used for personal vehicles, personal housing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It cannot go on like this. And certainly if the people who are allegedly doing oversight over this committee and have done so for years and failed miserably, clearly they're not doing it.
There's a point of order.
Chairperson, I just think a point of order in terms of that it's not rules. If we want, it's the act that determines that this committee cannot do oversight over the secret fund. It's not rules, it's not SAPS rules, it's not Parliament rules, it's the Act. If we want to change that, it lies with us as legislators of this country to change that. And it lies with the responsibility of our colleagues in the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence.
Now, thank you very much, members, for the question. Acting National Commissioner, you seem to be saying to us you're getting these matters through the media. And sitting here, I'm worried as to what does this mean about the senior managers in the department who are not able on their own to pick up these matters and to correct them. What does it mean about the senior managers who probably are sitting here in front of this portfolio committee, who may be involved in corrupt activities but will not be found by the department itself unless, of course, media raises this, we will not know. I'm seriously worried about that. Honorable Kola Barnard has always questioned the transfer of members who are suspected to have been involved in serious misconduct. And today, again, we are told that the members of the Katomano unit have been transferred to other areas to do what? To corrupt, to teach them these malpractices. What are the implications of such a move to other members of SAPS? The head of the Hawks in KZN is being suspected of being involved in serious misconduct. And for goodness sake and for God's sake, this is the head of the Hawks, a specialized unit that we're talking about. Not just any other SAPS member, but the head of the Hawks. Our hope in the fight against crime, our hope in the fight against organized crime. For me, he is equally suspected of having committed or being involved in serious misconduct as the head of crime intelligence. The head of the Hawks is suspected of presiding over a unit that is alleged to have killed many black suspects. This country has a constitution. This country has a history. a history that looked down upon the lives of black people. When members of SAPS are suspected to be involved in those things, they take us back to where we were before 1994 as a country. I think we need to get clarity, really, as to what this means. I have heard what you've said, Acting National Commissioner, but the court or whoever has reinstated the head of the Hawks, we will respect that and appreciate the fact that SAPS indeed on its own had suspended this member. But where from here? Where to? The head of intelligence. Really, we're talking about intelligence, crime intelligence. Our hope in the prevention of crime in this country, our hope in fighting crime in this country, is alleged in this serious, very serious misconduct. Reinstated. You want to investigate this? What is this supposed to mean in as far as your investigations are concerned? The quality of your investigations. What is this? What is this? Are we... What is this, really? What is happening? When the most senior people in SAPS are being alleged, suspected of being involved in criminal conduct such as this. What is this supposed to mean? Who is sitting in front of this portfolio committee? Who must be trusted? Who are you? Can you define yourself to this portfolio committee so that we know as to who is sitting here? Do we really know as to who is sitting in front of us here? Who must we trust? Who must we not trust? Acting National Commissioner, we will be closing this matter after this.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm going to try my level best to respond. I hope I will satisfy everybody around me. Maybe I should start with a matter that seems not to be much in the media, the issue of the police stations. Our plan for this year, the annual performance plan, is looking into fixing the state of stations, as it was reported, as we know about on some of the reports that came through our own internal processes. The provincial commissioners present here today, partly the reason they are here is to listen for themselves on what has been asked and take serious on what are the issues that have been raised by the committee. So they've given undertaking that during the course of this year, they're going to emphasize the issue of command and control at stations and the compliance to all these beautiful directives and national instructions that we have. So hopefully by the time we finish the end of this financial year, the state of stations would have changed. And that is going to be part of the performance agreement of each provincial commissioner and each divisional commissioner responsible for any institution in the country within the South African Police Service to ensure that the administrative part of policing is taken care of, the corporate support, so that we don't only focus on going out on the street. So that's the undertaking that I was given by the provincial commissioners and the divisional commissioners yesterday. The issue surrounding the unit, Ketumena unit, the disciplinary regulations of the South African police prescribe that when the senior manager becomes aware of a possible misconduct, must take action. Now, it is part of that disciplinary procedure that made me to take a decision to close down that unit. And I established the inquiry. For now, those members are not found guilty of anything, so they are still employees of SAPS. In them being placed in other units within the South African Police Service, it's not necessarily going to influence how the rest of the employees of SAPS are working. And I must say, there are members within the very same unit that are not implicated on this, that they were just going on with their normal business and carrying case dockets. But the ones that were implicated are the ones that are not allowed to continue the investigations. I must say, Chairperson, that at one instance, I want to just caution again the committee that in the future, I'm not a politician, I'm a policeman, so I like to speak about facts. Now, if I'm told that the KZN members might have had written statements against me personally and accuse me of something, yeah, well, I must give assurance to the committee that me as a person, I'm taking that matter to court against whoever that seems to allege that I witnessed something. And partly, it's one of those reasons that we're investigating this. I can pass an example on what I shared with those members, Chairperson, if you allow me. And I've shared this thing with the Deputy National Commissioners in December last year. And I've shared this thing with the members in Katumena. My disgust was the, excuse my language, and that my disappointment was when I hear that one member of the portfolio committee goes out publicly and say, I witnessed the death of an innocent person. I personally was working in the task force. Mine was to neutralize threat. So if a detective tells me that there's a dangerous suspect there, I go and arrest that person. So I put my life in the block so I can be shot at saving the detective. When I neutralize the danger, I call a detective to take over and continue the investigation. Now when I do that and I walk away, next thing I hear gunshots at the back and I go back to investigate. When I discover the very same person that were arrested by the unit that I was working with, unarmed but not been shot at, we arrest, we cable tie, we hand over to detectives. And the very same detective will come back and tell you, you know, this person was trying to shoot at me and I defended myself. It's a concern. It's a serious concern. So this is part of the inquiry that is taking place within the case of the Katumena unit. Now, that one that was leveled directly against me, I've welcomed the investigation that was called, and I'm definitely taking legal action against it. But in short, those members working in Katumena, the inquiry is underway. It's not to say that all of them are guilty of anything. If there's any indication that anyone is guilty through disciplinary processes and criminal investigation that has been conducted by the IPID, those members will face the consequences, the disciplinary steps taken as well as the criminal act that will be instituted against them. So only until then we'll know whether the members did wrong or not. For now, they are still employees of SAPS, and I do believe that they are doing well wherever they are placed for now. The issue surrounding the suspension of the head of the Hawks, everything that we do based on facts. We don't become emotional. We do it based on facts. So I believe that he was also exercising his right within the law to approach the court to you know, take action against that suspension. So we are still back and forth, courts and no courts. But as that is taking place, Jefferson, there is a disciplinary investigation continuing against the very same individual. It might not necessarily be easy to get to all the witnesses while the individual is still commanding them, while we're still battling the issue of suspension. Because it can be issue of we either remove the person by means of transfer from that environment or you suspend. Depend which one weighs the most in terms of our procedure. But we are conducting an investigation on this one, and I do hope that there won't be any negative thing that is going to happen that's going to jeopardize the disciplinary case that is currently being investigated. Yeah, well, I think Honorable Annalise, alluded to this one, my apology. I said earlier that I'm not used to the language in Parliament. we certainly, whether I like it or not, certain things happen because they're prescribed by act. I must say, Chairperson, that you might find within our own environment that you discipline and you even dismiss a member for particular misconduct. And a member might be out of the service for a year, pursuing legal action, going to court and everything. And eventually the court might find that the member must come back. And that very same person might find his way back into the organization. So the issues of actions taken against the Divisional Commission of Crime Intelligence, which involves secret funds, again, is the issue of that needs to be discussed at the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence. It cannot be decided by me. Tantam Kwanas on his own cannot decide that this act doesn't make sense, I must do this one and that one. I cannot do that, as much as I want to. Unfortunately, I might not be able to tell you the actual feelings that I have about it. I have to obey the law. Definitely I have to. You know, I'm sure it will have done something as the South African Police Service to make sure that the person who has been found guilty and sentenced to prison for killing one of our members, Constable Rasoha, we as the police, if it was not within the legal system that will prohibit torture and the like, we might have found ways to make sure that he tells us where the body is. But unfortunately, he had the rights not to disclose them. We had to find means to make sure that he's found guilty anyway. So he was found guilty. Later, we discovered where the remains of our constable is. But certainly, there are things that we cannot change as the South African police. Ours is to enforce what is written on paper. We cannot change them. The picking up of issues through the media, Chairperson, I must say again, I'm not friends with the media. I'm not. I hardly read newspapers. But if I'm bored, I do read them. That's what I do. I keep myself busy. There's a lot of tabloids that, you know, gets one excited sometimes. There are issues that, for the disciplinary procedure to take place, as a manager, you must be informed by somebody. Now, in the issue of Katomena, it's something that's been happening for many years. It did not start last year since my appointment. It didn't start even 2-3 years back. It's something that's been many years. The specific incident that I'm referring to, it affected me directly. It happened in 1998, for record. So things that has been happening for many years. If people don't report it, you don't know about it, you're not going to act as a manager. So you need to be informed. You can be informed by means of the hotline that we have, Crime Stop that we have in the police, or somebody, one of the employees, makes a statement about it or reports it direct to you, or you pick it up through the media in this instance. So majority of them, I must thank them that the Katumena issue, I was not aware of it. I worked with that unit for many years. I was not aware of that until I saw it on the paper. So if somebody else might have complained about it, I would certainly have done something about it. So there are a lot of things that I've taken action on. As I'm talking to you, Chairperson, there is a disciplinary steps taken against one of the senior managers in the police that never came through the media. It's something I became aware of in my office, and I took action on it. And I believe that we'll continue doing that. It's not that we're listening to, we only act when we're told by the media. We appreciate some of the things that we get to know about that you might not have known, that we get to take action about. I think I might have summarized everything, not unless maybe I've missed anything from the question. I tried to come with a summary of everything, Chairperson. Thank you.
No, thank you very much,
Chairperson.
Acting.
My question has not been answered. I asked a question about whether there's a mechanism of defending a detective that is investigating a senior police. Because from the media we gathered that some of those that were involved in investigating allegations against Lieutenant General Mduli are now fearful that they are going to be targeted. So my question was, are there mechanisms to protect detectives who are investigating senior management. Thanks. Just linked to that, there was a question of integrity. And linked to that was a question of integrity. And I said, when former Commissioner Selibi was taken to court, there was an army of generals that were with him to court. And the question that came out of that was, is there any consideration of personal integrity or the integrity of SAPS as a whole when a person is being accused of something that has nothing to do with a line faction and then the army just is there to defend the accused?
Thank you, Chairperson. My apology, Honourable Member, forgot that question. It is, yeah. Yeah. This is a difficult thing in the South African Police Service. To be a police officer is difficult. It's one of those jobs that you need to be dedicated and be willing to die for. That is the unfortunate part. Many people that might be traveling around with bodyguards, they might be fooled and think that they are completely protected. But if somebody wants to do something to you, might find opportunity to do that. So as a police officer, you get trained. As a police officer, you are getting trained on tactical part of policing before you are trained as a detective. You don't only come in with a tie and a shirt and the pants. You have to be trained tactical first before you are trained on other things. So yeah, as you conduct your business, it is unfortunate that some detective in this instance that you might be referring to involved on the investigation of Jeremy Luli that you might think need protection. I must say that there are dangerous criminals out there. Worse dangerous criminals. That if they come across a police officer, they kill them. They don't hesitate. And you've got detectives that are carrying case dockets that are investigating them without any protection. Now, if indeed we are going to provide protection to every police officer, there will be less police officers protecting yourselves as a citizen in the country. Hence, we need to be trained so we can look after ourselves and protect you at the same time. So there are mechanisms that we do deploy in instances to try and protect our members, but the protection is limited. It cannot be like a VIP, a minister or somebody that will have a permanent protection throughout. So we have limitations on that. So I cannot say fully protected, but in terms of the training, the equipment we give the detectives, we can say on that is a part of protection that they are provided with because they are allowed to take these firearms home and the like, so they can protect themselves and their families. But in some of the cases, we do provide protection, you know, to assist the detective to be able to investigate and finalize the investigation. Although, like I said, there are always challenges. You can investigate the case, you find a person guilty, goes to court, he goes to prison. And he's have 2 years in prison, he comes out. And he's still the same person. He comes back to you or your family. He can do anything he wants. So it's one of the commitments that we take as police officers, unfortunately. It's a risk that is associated with the job that we are doing. But in terms of this specific one, the detective, there were many of them that were involved in the investigation. It's not only one or two. There were many of them involved, and I still believe that they are protected. Now, I don't know what type of protection that the honourable member might feel that is adequate to give it to them more than what you are providing. So I hope I do give you a clear answer on this one. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Acting National Commissioner. We view these matters seriously as a portfolio committee. And I will definitely not want to speak on behalf of any member of the portfolio committee on this one. And that is why I will allow them to say something. But from the chairperson's point of view, and therefore I'm speaking for myself, we will support the acting national commissioner. I personally will support the national commissioner on any investigation and any internal disciplinary process that will unfold against any of the members of the Katomale unit the head of the Hawks, as well as the head of Crime Intelligence. You can count on my support on that one as a member. For us and for myself, it's not about the color and the person, it's about things that are alleged to have been committed by a person, particularly a senior member. So I think I'll support that. But I will also go to members of the Portfolio Committee. If they want to make any comment, I will allow them to do that. As parties, not as myself. As members. Honorable Reverend Mission.
Chairperson, I endorse what you just said. Obviously, the ACDP that wants to see corruption eradicated would support the investigation of anybody who is alleged to be involved in either corruption or any action that hinders the work of the police. So we are 100% behind the Acting National Commissioner also in the investigation.
We will support the investigation of fear no favor, from the top to the bottom. Whoever supposed to be investigated have to be investigated. Thank you.
Honorable Ramatlakane.
Well, Honorable Chair, I think crime has been committed. There is no way that we cannot support such an investigation and action to be taken against the perpetrators of that particular crime, actually serious crime. So we, the Acting Commissioner, can count on the support from here around some of those issues clearly. I mean, we feel very strong about it. Such a occurrence, tantamount to a kind of internal hit squad, cannot be condoned, cannot be supported. It's actually, in my view, action should have been taken already on that. In my view, it's taking very slow for action to be taken on it.
Chairperson, I think I summarized when I spoke, I said what I wanted to say, but I more than want to repeat it again, that from the side of the ANC, the Acting National Commissioner, I have the full support to do what is necessary to investigate without fear or favor and to bring back the trust to the organization and the pride that should be associated with wearing the blue.
Thank you very much. This matter is closed. We will proceed to a presentation by the department. We will, as we have said, Acting National Commissioner, request that you give us a brief overview of your budget. And then, of course, we'll then want to focus on the administration program. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Without maybe boring the committee too much, but our presentation will solely focus on the strategic imperative, the annual plan, and the budget for 2012-2013 as required. We are currently compiling the 2011-12 annual report, where we will indicate our performance against the set targets. A strategic plan and annual performance plan, which we refer to as APP, were only revised to comply with the National Treasury framework, as there was no significant policy shift. Performance indicators and targets in the APP were formulated to measure all sub-financial programs. Each program and the sub-program is a performance indicator and a target to measure its value. According to the Treasury, only key performance indicators, which are 40 in the current plan, with proper baseline should feature in the annual plan. The rest should be on the operational plans. According to the Treasury rules, new performance indicator can be included in subsequent years within the MTF period, as soon as baseline have been developed. For the first time, Chairperson, there was an interactive and consultative process between staff's management, the Treasury, the Presidency, Auditor General, Civilian Secretariat for Police, organized labor, as well as business. And this will be strengthened and gain momentum in a subsequent planning process. The APP was aligned to JCPS delivery agreement performance indicator and the target in terms of outcome 3 of our outputs. All 2012-2013 performance agreement and PEP aligned to APP to ensure direct accountability on performance by all staff within the South African Police Service. The budget review report recommendations and comments of the 2011-12 budget vote hearing report have been utilized in the planning process. Our annual plan was tabled earlier than prescribed date. The chairperson has undertaken that unreasonable targets and those beyond the control of staff, such as reduction of stolen private-owned firearms or vehicles, were reviewed as recommended by the committee. Conviction rates were included. The turnaround times to measure vehicle utilization, etc., was included. Performance indicators aligned with the spending priorities, and the vermin approval continues to follow proper procedure. Chairperson and honorable members, what informs the strategic direction of the outcome three priorities? As part of the GCPS cluster, the subs continue to implement its resources in order to ensure that people in South Africa are and feel safe, which is one of the two strategic outcomes-oriented goals that we intend to achieve. In this regard, the SAPS planning process was aligned to the following outcome three output performance indicators and target, and has only addressed those errors that relate to its mandate in the current plan. There are all these five outputs that are there on the screen, which talks about the reduction of the overall levels of serious crime and particular conduct and trail crimes. And these special performance measures include the reduction of the total number of serious crime per annum, the reduction of conduct crimes reported per annum, the reduction of trio crimes reported per annum. And output two, a more effective criminal justice, its performance measures include by 2014 that we should have increased the serious crime detection rate by 51.8 to 59%. And increase the contact crime detection rate by 52.5 to 57% by increasing the contact crime detection rate from 13.5 to 34%. And also by 2014, we have to achieve the 30% cooperative docket rate. We shall increase the number of finalized cases by 2% per annum and develop and implement case management system to integrate across the criminal justice. The output three and five concerning corruption and are in process of being merged and are measured in terms of the following. Develop an anti-corruption strategy by the end of the last financial year, which we have done, but it still has to be rolled out in details. The initiation of the investigation against the list of 100 persons that has been identified, has been given to us. The initial criminal proceeding against at least 75 people, as well as the conviction target of 100 persons, which we have some challenges on that one, but we explain in details as we present. Output 4, perception of crime amongst the population managed and improved, and the measurement will include the percentage person, the percentage of persons that report crime of those who were victim of crime. The annual survey of number of victim crime reports and the number of workshops and seminars held with the community on security awareness. The number of JCPS staff trained in saving victims in a victim-friendly manner, and the percentage of persons in compliance with Department of Directive related to treatment of victim of crime. The output 6, which talks about the borders of South Africa, the set measures will include the establishment of the agency that should be looking at the border issues, which we need to be part of, the effective management of borders under the direction of the head of the agency, implement an interim measure to ensure the border line and ports of entry within this period, the ensuring of the maritime port security during this period. Then we've got output 7 and 8 flighted on the screen. Cannot allude much on that, Chairperson. What still informs our strategy on this one, the outcome 12 of our priority outputs, which the second strategic outcome-oriented goals which the SAPS strive to realize relates to 4 outputs on outcome 12. It refers to the efficiency, the effective and development-oriented public service, and an empowered fair and inclusive citizenship. These are building blocks into SAPS operational support priorities. It includes all these 4 outputs listed above. And still on that, Chairperson, the State of the Nation Address of 2012-2013 was also taken into consideration, and the call to the SAPS to include continuous strengthening efforts to reduce crime, taking the cue from the past performance, and to avoid being complacent. The reduction of vacancy rates by filling all vacancies within the 3-month period, the finalizing outstanding structures and filling posts within the set policies, contributing to the national target of making 2% of employed people with disability in the public service, the contribution to the broad-based black economic empowerment and economic transformation through compliance with supply chain management prescripts, by ensuring that we vet all the service providers to cut elements of fronting and mispresentation, and also through vetting of our own supply chain personnel. Gender equality remains a priority in our organization and is monitored in terms of provincial and national equity contributions. When we compiled this plan, our minister had identified certain priorities that you need to look at, which among others include the effective transformation of SAPS, the smarter policing and engagement with the criminal justice system, the revamp process, to ensure that the pace of building new police stations is accelerated. We accelerate the implementation of the public order policing policy, building a stable environment within crime intelligence community, capacitating the re-establishment of the family, child, and sexual offense and stock theft units, focus recruitment of personnel to attract appropriate skills, effective training of personnel, improving command and control, professionalism, accountability, policing, as well as implementing of the rural safety that embraces all communities in the rural area. We do have the relevant policies and strategies and approaches that also inform our planning, which among others include implementing the medium-term strategic framework objective, which inform outcome 3 and 7-point plan, change areas of criminal justice system review as captured on page 5 of the strategic plan, that is improving the efficiency and effectiveness of the CJS by enhancing detective and forensic environment, modernizing the CJS through application of technology solutions, implementing the 4 pillars of the anti-corruption strategy is an imperative that also relates to outcome 12 and output 4 as mentioned earlier. The risk management strategy, which directs the development of the risk plan to address key organizational risks that may impact the achievement of the service delivery targets and strategy goals. The Service Delivery Improvement Program, which relates to the development and implementation of the Service Charter of Atupele Principle and guide the resourcing of police stations to realize improved response times. The resourcing implementing periodic reporting on the 4 pillars of the Rural Safety Strategy is an imperative for the SAPS, which will be realized through enhanced service delivery, enhanced cooperation and coordination of key role players, community safety awareness programs, and participating in rural development in line with the mandate. implement element of the public order police and strengthening the sector policing. Our SAP's operational priorities are linked to the issues that are plotted on the screen, which is crime prevention, investigation of crime, support to investigation of crime, as well as crime intelligence. The crime prevention will involve the reduction of crime levels, serious crime, conduct crime, crimes, real crimes, and crime against women and children, increase the visibility of SAP's personnel members, the improvement of police response, improving access to police services, the crime perception management and feedback from the community, victim empowerment programs, victim-friendly facilities, effectiveness and integration of border management agencies, policing incidents of public disorder or security nature, external deployment, and the combating of corruption. Under investigation of crime, we're looking at effective investigation of reported crime, the apprehension and charging known criminals to improve criminal conviction, capacitating and resourcing the Directorate of Priority Crime Investigation, and the increasing the capacity and professionalization of detectives. That will do by implementing of a comprehensive recruitment strategy. It will increase the skills of detectives, will retain the existing detectives, will reestablish some specialized units and capacitate them, will increase the detection rate for crime intelligence, hopefully, and it will increase the medium-term target for court-ready case docket if we implement all the above. The support to the investigation of crime will include the operational area of support to the investigation of crime, includes the improvement, the collection and processing of evidence and procedures for the updating of records of convicted offenders. We'll capacitate the Criminal Record Center, Forensic Science Laboratory as well, in terms of extending the capacity of the two and the procurement of the new technology and expanding of existing technology within this environment. The full implementation of the provision of the Criminal Procedure Act that enabled the SAPs to take fingerprints on all RSDs to ensure the functionality of existing database, incremental processing of forensic and fingerprint evidence, as well as the implementation of solutions that should assist us in our command centers. The crime intelligence is one of our four priority areas. Will involve providing actionable intelligence to enable prosecutions, conducting intelligence operations pertaining to serious crime to improve conviction in this area, and capacitating intelligence to deliver in these areas. The SAP's operational support priorities will enable the above, which relate to the human capital, the budget, and the information technology. Our capital, human capital development, and the budget and resource management. Briefly, also in line with outcome 12, our human capital development includes investing in skills development and the retention of skills, focused recruitment of personnel, enhancing the health and wellness of employees, and transformation of the staffs in terms of improving the employment equity and promoting gender equity. Budget and resource management relates to putting an emphasis on the responsible budgeting, spending and accounting, improving of infrastructure, and the enhancement of asset management. Our information system and information communication technology will be enhanced by focusing on working towards a single coordinated management of continuum of criminal justice system and performance across the CJS, developing a system that will capture records and data on corruption crimes across CJS, developing a database of victims across CJS, developing a database that captures convictions and sentences related to identified theft, and establishment of an integrated system approach to combating cybercrime. All the above may not be realized if we do not address some of the issues that will accelerate service delivery that can be presented as follows on the administration, which is program one. The police largely depend on the Department of Public Works for construction and expenditure thereof in terms of capital work. And also within capital works program, we are currently consulting with the key stakeholders to possibly hand over capital work back to the department responsible, Department of Public Works. That should enable us to focus and account for policing matters. The ambitious plans, not considering a three-year process from site clearance to occupation of a facility, is one but the example of the lack of understanding in terms of the management of the capital works project, which we as subs have undertaken to take over from public works, which was a trial and it seems to be an error, and we acknowledge that one. The establishment establishing an infrastructure development planning committee to review current plans and bringing about a CTS blueprint on service delivery access point informed by the access study which we have commissioned. And also under program one, we'll be creating an enabling environment. On our IT plan, we have identified challenges in terms of the unused budget on this environment, the incomplete product, the business relation with CETA, who plays a big role in terms of us achieving our set targets on this. The IT solution source before business processes developed remains a challenge. The Division of Technology Management Services will elaborate more on the presentation during their period in terms of this. We have recently appointed a divisional commissioner in this environment to be able to assist us in looking at the IT. He is indeed an IT specialist. Hopefully he will be able to rescue us on this one. The current audit of TMS sourced IT advisory services and the turnaround strategy will facilitate the review of the IS ICT plan to be done in this financial year. Also within the same program, our medium-term establishment targets in terms of HR, we intend to emphasize quality over quantity, enhancing professionalism, expertise, and target recruitment. Establishment committee finalizing plan on areas requiring reduction, strategic development of existing human, IT, and other resources, management of staff attrition, data integrity on personal system in terms of the full-in data, and the correcting personnel information and staff establishment management are some of the focus areas within the HR environment. The plan tenders not finalized. We'll establish a comprehensive recruitment plan or procurement plan, beg your pardon, and the full implementation of the procurement plan to ensure that all tenders are published and products obtained and effectively utilized. The career pathing, we will be finalizing the policy in this regard to ensure that all work streams have upward mobility. We have issues of security guards where the contract needs to come to an end, and we embark on the program to address members declared incompetent or unfit to carry out policing duties. We will be employing them to protect our infrastructure and our service points. And this will be done in line with the government, the cluster's priorities in terms of safeguarding our own strategic places and key points for our own personnel. Our cleaning services, we'll be putting measures in place to address structural unemployment by utilizing existing funded lowest level vacancies to appoint cleaners in line with the state of the nation address. Unfortunately, a person on this one still remains a challenge, which we are planning to overcome hopefully this year. Within program two of visible policing, we're creating an enable environment aimed at addressing the lack of cooperation from other government departments by implementing legislation and policies, which, for instance, the lack of adequate probation officers to support implementation of the Child Justice Act, the resourcing and focused implementation of legislation, and the key policy strategies in terms of sector policing and etc. The frontline service delivery would be the focus area, would be structured to include partners in terms of the DPME at the presidency and the Office of the Public Service Commission to improve on our frontline service at police station level in terms of the normal standards that are set. There are bi-monthly reporting at FOSAT in this regard on sector-specific delivery targets, which will help us to guide us in the implementation of this strategy. In terms of the detective environment, we've acknowledged that this remains a challenge, and SAPS have declared this the year of detectives. We'll make sure that we adjust the skewed resourcing of the detectives, which will be based on conducting need assessments. And we'll be improving the training backlog address over and enhancing specialization in the environment through targeted recruitment, deployment, and training. The purification of functions to distinguish clearly the distinct roles and responsibility between the general detectives as well as the DPCI, which has been a bit unclear. In terms of program 4 on intelligence, as I've alluded to previously, in general, the cross-cutting issues, Jefferson, an inclusive approach to planning and budgeting is currently pursued to ensure effective planning and spending on allocated budget nationally. Identifying and addressing deviations from compliance with legislation and policies that regulate policies. For example, appointment powers for provincial commissioners in terms of the level 1 to 12, which is reflected to in the Act. Full implementation of COPs in line with the Constitution imperative, so that should be able to help us to manage these crowd situations in the country. The proper implementation of the promotion policy to avoid nepotism. We argued this point previously in the previous appearance, which we are doing our level best to improve on this, Jefferson. We also be empowering our inspectorate, as I've alluded to earlier, to ensure that proper command and control and accountability and the discipline in the service is implemented. We'll be utilizing project management principle to implement the current annual performance plan, and this will include the quarterly milestone reporting of our performance. And our minister has also given an undertaking that we'll be attending our quarterly meetings so that he can get a briefing in terms of this performance. At the full implementation of the anti-corruption strategy and related initiative to improve professionalism within the service. Our strategic objective, annual targets and performance indicators for 2012-2013 annual performance plan. The main part of the annual planning document is part B, strategic objective, annual targets and performance indicators for 2012-2013 annual performance plan. It should be stated that the table plan visually links the strategic priorities of the organization to performance indicators, as it was once intimated by the committee. Audited actual performance 2010-2011, the estimated target on 2011-2012, and the planned annual and quarterly targets for 2012-2013. It also projects minimum 10 targets, which may be reviewed in terms of the recent performance, as it will be shown in the presentation on Program 3. On detective, most performance indicators in the plan are covered under this program, as it is deemed to be one of the core areas for measuring police performance. The chairperson has given undertaking that the committee did undergo through our strategic plan and annual plan, which we appreciate. The presentation will mainly indicate key priorities areas to focus on the implementation of our plan. And today we are presenting on Program 1, chairperson, which in the sequence that we'll be following in our presentation will be starting with the overall SAPS 2010-13 budget and MTF estimates, the personnel management, the human resource development, the supply chain management, and the technology management services. As an acting national commissioner, I'm a trained police officer. I'm not a qualified HR or physical manager or an IT specialist. Hence, I've employed the expert generals who will be presenting all the above. So, with your permission, Chairperson, I'll call on Lieutenant General Standa, supported by General Mufume, to lead us on the presentation that is on the screen.
Honourable members, good morning. The first part will be the overview of the budget and the MTF estimates that will be done by General Skutte. And as he proceeds, he will just announce who will be next during the presentation, Chairperson. General Skutte, you may proceed with the budget overview.
Thank you, Chairperson. As point of departure, the basic source documents are obviously the most important. And last year, the basic source documents, especially the APP and the strategic plan, did not comply with the expectations and the requirements of the framework for the compilation of plans and so forth. This year, it is trusted that it reflects a higher or high degree of compliance relating to format and substance in this regard. The first document, obviously, being the Estimates of National Expenditure, Chairperson, where reference is made to the categorization of expenses, funds, in terms of a program structure, in terms of an economic classification, referring to the amounts to be appropriated by Parliament at the end of the day, should they deem it to pass the test. Secondly, the strategic plan and the annual performance plan, according to a framework referring to resource aspects and overview of the 2012 budget and estimates. We strive to stick as closely as possible to the formats of these documents and to a large extent increase the linkage between them, the correlation, and also format in terms of the templates that were provided. The estimates of national expenditure, which contains inter alia strategic overview, expenditure estimates, and expenditure trends. From a financial point of view, you will see that there is some duplication in both documents according to template and according to format, and it is believed that it enhanced the linkage in this regard. If we then go to the priorities in the next slide, which are high-level priorities in the vote pulleys, and which members obviously have disseminated, the information disseminated. Specific emphasis on these priorities are placed on to enhance investigative capacity quite significantly. Now, I know we're not doing investigative capacity at this point in time, but Program 3, as will be seen, has been enhanced really significantly. I would like to say enormously. Then also enhance crime intelligence capacity, enhance visible policing capacity by means of sustaining the weight in the current baseline, enhancing the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation capacity as far as human and physical resources are concerned. We started with a capacitating of this environment a couple of years ago, and it is continuing and going from strength to strength in terms of capacitating. Continued training focus, basic training, investigative training, and then community service training. Community service center commander training. Resource the CJ is revamped in the initiative intensely. General investigations will receive a significant amount, approximately 300 million, as will be seen later on during the week. The CRC, Forensic Science Laboratory, and then also the IT part of the criminal justice system will again receive discernible amounts. Continuous funding of the integrated justice system has been coming for quite a long way and is still ongoing. Upgrading of the hosting and network infrastructure significantly being funded. Resourcing of the DPSI address organized crime specifically in this regard. Then once again capital infrastructure and property management. I would just like to stand there for a moment and say, with effect from 2001-2002 financial year, allocations for capital works and acquisition of land have been appropriated for on departmental budget. Those were instituted by the National Treasury as well as DPW. The Department of Public Works, however, remains responsible for a big part for the management of projects on behalf of client departments. In the case of SAPS, DPW also allows the execution of works by an own departmental capacity. You've heard what the accounting office has indicated in terms of reverting back some of these functions. We would just have to look nice, very good at that model so that we don't end up again with we being accountable to you, but some of the functions are in a different department, because that remains always a problem. The moment you have a differentiation between who does what. This is the first thing. Then secondly, further capacitating of the TRT teams in the provinces at the National Management Forum. A presentation was made by these environments, decisions have been taken, and once again this will be an emphasis also to sustain them further in time to come. And then also strengthening of the FCSs, obviously a very, very important space unit in SAPS, and then also the stock theft units in this regard. The next slide is a graphical illustration of growth over time, being from 08-09 until 11-12 last year, and then also from 12-13 until 14-15. So it has a past indicator as well as a future indicator. One would immediately see that it indicates growth over quite a long period, 4 years previously and 3 years ahead. Lower increases may be ahead, which is indicative of a tough economic situation which one operates currently, because it's got lower increases. Then one could also see that it will increase from the previous financial year, 58.6 billion to 62.5 billion, 66.9, 70.8, which constitutes 6.77% and 5.8% increases. Now, normally the state performs nominal budgets. It means it includes inflation. It does not exclude inflation or discount inflation, because then you get to a real amount. Because if you discount inflation to a certain extent, you basically have only a sustainable budget with a minimal real growth. Be that as it may, as we've indicated, National Treasury is not very much in favor of departments discounting inflation and therefore indicating real growth in this regard, according to the inflationary figures in the budget review on page 15. However, it is a credible increase which enabled the department to overall grow or sustain its capacity to a large extent, except maybe for in the personnel environment. Now, if we go to the next slide, one would immediately see a previous 2011 E&E baseline of 62.0 billion, 66.6 billion, 70.6 billion, and then a new MTF baseline in the 2012 E&E, 62.4 billion, 66.9 billion, and 70.8 billion. The additional funds which have been received was actually for compensation of employees. It is the carry through of the higher salary adjustments in 2011. And we received 872 million, 990 million, and 1.104 billion for the MTF financial years, and it is in respect of the carry through of the compensation of the, let's use the word, salary increases of the previous financial year. Then there were also some baseline reductions, cuts introduced across government and also in SAPS, where we received a budget cut of 465 million, 766, 954 million, which result then in a net of 407 million, 224 and 149 million, and the biggest portion basically had to be absorbed in the compensation environment and the enlistment of personnel. What in high level, broad terms can one then conclude? One can then conclude by saying that expenditure increased from 41.6 billion in 08-09 to 58.6 billion in 11-12 at an average annual rate of 12%. This is quite significantly. Mainly driven by the increased expenditure in the compensation of employees, to provide for additional capacity. We received numbers and numbers of personnel and improved conditions of service over the years. Then, secondly, over the medium term ahead, expenditure is expected to grow to 70.8 billion at an average annual rate of approximately 6.6%. And the growth is primarily due to investment in capital infrastructure and technological enhancements, especially in the forensic science and investigative functions, additional capacity for the DPCI, upgrading of the IT network, and the review and modernization of the criminal justice system to create an integrated justice environment. And thirdly, compensation of employees to increase to 45 billion in 2012-13, the current financial year, from 42.3 billion at a rate of 7.6%. And why does this happen? Mainly as a result of the increase to provide for carry-through effect of the new enlistments in prior years and annual salary adjustments as concluded for the broader public service. Once the second slide, we now get to the program structure. And as we always say, because it's the point of any analysis in the program structure, one is looking to the broad aims and functions of the Vote Police in this regard. Normally we have five programs: administration, visible policing, detective services, crime intelligence, protection and security services. With the first year, one could basically say the most important, as that is the appropriation year, and the two outer years to a large extent your planning years. In the admin environment, there's a 7.1% increase. When we get to the specific programs per se, members of the committee will see why what constitutes the 7.1%, then 5.4 and 5.5. Visible policing at 5%, 8.4 and 6.2. As I've said, visible policing is the biggest portion in the vote, in excess of 40%. Detective services, 11.9 to 13.1, a very credible 10% once again. Inter alia, as a result of capacity building in all the sub-programs falling under detective services. Crime intelligence, 2.3 to 2.5, a 6.6% increase. And then protection and security services, from 1.7 to 1.8 billion, a 4.9% increase in year one, and then 4.3 and 5.6 in the outer years. This is in terms of the program structure, but as members of the committee fully know, once we get to the specific programs, more detail will become available, also by means of Qs and answers. If we now go to a classification of the items per se in the next slide, where we have the economic classification of the same amount consisting of three broad categories: current payments, transfers and subsidies, and payments for capital assets, one would immediately see that under current payments, the compensation of employees is quite a big portion. 45 billion in 12-13, increasing to 48 and 50 billion in 2014-15. In terms of the transfer and subsidy environment, the unrequited payment environment, unrequited meaning in terms of what we pay, we don't get specifically anything in return. You have the three sub-programs there, sub-items, provinces and municipalities, which constitute mainly licenses for all our vehicles in the vehicle fleet, departmental agencies and accounts, those are the Sacierta payments, and then households, which is the biggest one of 214 million, consisting mostly of IODs, the medical for detainees, benefits to be paid to people who are retiring, such as pro rata service bonus and certain leave aspects, and then also the civil claims environment. They will all be found within the household transfer environment. Then the payment for capital assets, once again, buildings and other fixed structures, a healthy 8.9, and then 6.3 and 6.8, machinery and equipment, which include mainly vehicles, 1.95, and then also 2.35, which is also a significant environment with a growth of 9% in year one. And then cultivated assets is a very small environment, and that is where one would find your sort of your biological assets, such as your dogs and your horses. This is in terms of the economic classification, and obviously they appear in detail in both the APP as well as the ENE. If we then go to the second slide, it has been deemed appropriate, as usual, to indicate to members of the committee some broad composition of our compensation environment, which the volumes indicate the extent thereof. Your wage bill, consisting of salary pensions, bonus, cost of living, enlistments in the vicinity of 36 billion, allowances, service allowance, night shift allowance, and others, 1.3 billion, overtime, 401 million, rental and housing allowance, 1.628 billion, an allowance that has increased quite significantly in recent years as a result of negotiations in the Public Service Bargaining Council and the very high priority that housing has in our society. Then also the medical schemes, 5.272 billion, format and gems, and then scarce skills and promotions, 163 million. In the 163 million, there's a line item of approximately 100 million of promotions in the current financial year, which normally then has to carry through in the subsequent financial year, and the amount above 100 million relates then to other kinds of scarce skill payments. This, in essence, is a broad overview. Obviously, more detail available in the E&E for members of the committee. And may I now please go to Program 1. Program 1 is the emphasis or focus point of today, as indicated by the committee. There's a first slide which breaks down the funding and the expenditure a bit more, and then each one of the divisional commissioners in this row will present her function, his or her functional responsibility in terms of the specific environments. So Program 1, Administration Expenditure Estimates, can be broken down into the following sub-categories. You have the Ministry, Management, Corporate Services and Office Accommodation, Ministry, the Minister and Personnel, then Management. It includes Office of the National Commission and as well as the Civilian Secretariat. It is believed that the Civilian Secretariat will present their budget in time to come. But we have already started, as indicated by the committee, interacting with the Civilian Secretariat in order to start increasing their baseline for once they become a separate institution, that their baseline has been increased according to the approved organizational structure. But the Secretary will elaborate more in detail in this regard. Then we say management includes the provision for the Civilian Secretariat for Police, merely as a reminder to members of the committee. Then we say corporate services consist inter alia of human resource development, 1.7 billion, that's training, technological management services, 2.6 billion, and supply chain management, 3.8 billion, of which 1.344 billion is for capital works, that is the building of new facilities, personnel management, 1 billion, human resource utilization, 0.2 billion, financial services, 0.6 billion, and corporate services, 0.7 billion. These are functions from top of the organization to the bottom of the organization in terms of a functional grouping. Significant funding levels, especially for the CGS revamp initiative, again, 1 billion in the IT environment. IJS projects, 295.7 billion, and hosting and network infrastructure upgrades, 657 million within the TMS environment, and office accommodation, 2.839 billion for rates, taxes, leases, and municipal services within the property environment, etc. May I just indicate to members that one, if you look at the sub-programs, the schedule above, office accommodation stands on its own. It's 2.5 billion, going to 2.839 billion. If you want to look at the whole property environment, you have to add capital works to the office accommodation environment, and that would be a whole property environment. Why like this? This is a prescribed program by the National Treasury, and in your corporate service environment, you will find the capital works within supply chain management, whilst office accommodation is standing alone. This is the construct of this program. May I then ask the presenter coming after me to take over and elaborate further on the slides that are on its way. I think General Stoner, it's the Program 1 administration and the performance indicators.
Thank you, Jefferson. May we continue? Yeah, can we probably take a 5-10 minute break for tea? Time now is 11:05, so we'll start at 11:15.